Welcome to Pastoring Out Loud, a podcast from South Cities Church in Lakeville, Minnesota. Learn more about our church at southcities.church. Random question, not having to do with anything that's happened recently to any of us or any discussion we've just been having. What was your first car accident, if you've ever been in a car accident? Assuming that it wasn't like harrowing and like really super tragic. We don't want to like color the entire time that way, unless you're okay sharing that, but first car accident, either single car or like with another car. You guys remember?
I think I was 8 and I was in the back seat of our family car and we got rear-ended.
How about when you were driving?
When you as a driver.
I've never been in an accident driving.
Ooh.
Wow. Stacey.
I've only been in one.
Were you the driver?
Honestly. Yeah.
Was it your fault?
I think it was. I was in college and I was going to my professor's house for like a class get together. She lived near Lake Calhoun, and I think I went through an intersection.
You mean Biddy McCuska?
Yes, okay. I'm sorry.
Sorry, thank you.
And I think I went through an intersection, and I had a stop sign or something like that. It was minor.
You had a family of ducks?
No.
It was a car?
It was a car.
What? A lot of ducks.
It was minor. It was residential.
A lot of ducks down by Calhoun. So, they were residential ducks?
Yeah. No.
Killed them in their neighborhood. Okay. Stacy.
That was my only one, though.
Okay. Do you have, should I ask how many accidents you've had?
My first one? I've only had a couple. One was someone turned out in front of me that had, they had spilled a milkshake in their lap and then they had lost control. They were trying to recover. So they turned out in front
of me. That's a great line to begin like a short story. Yeah. They spilled a milkshake in their lap
It was a little bit frightening because I was test driving a car and they spilled a milkshake in front of me. So then they stumbled out, you know, with like milkshake and like stuff all over them. And I thought it was like
a zombie apocalypse.
I thought it was like parts of their body.
Oh no.
They're like stumbling towards me.
Wait, what kind of milkshake was it?
Chocolate.
Oh.
It was chocolate. It was pretty crazy. And then my only other accident is it was about 4 years ago. And I hit some ice and bumped into the back of someone. Yeah. It was super minor, but
okay. Yeah. All right.
Rest in peace, Pontiac G6.
Yeah, that's right.
We're not here to talk about what we accidentally may have done, but we're here to be purposeful in terms of how we approach real issues today. Yes, indeed, the Sunday school class.
Your segues, man.
Let the nations rage. Let them rage, Nick. How the nations rage.
How?
In chapter 4. Nick, you in Sunday school, which was down because of the snow, I think.
A little bit down.
A little bit down.
5 or 10 less than normal.
Is that all? Oh, okay, great. But overall, church wasn't down. We're not here to talk about church. You led the discussion on a chapter titled Bible, Constitution, not case law, or case law, not case law, but Constitution.
Yep.
What is that analogy about, Nick?
So the analogy is how we approach the Bible, especially when it comes to applying it to things like politics. Some people look for like every single like situation. So for example, you know, they might go to the Bible looking for a direct application to like every law in America, every political situation that you might have, you know, should we have, how should these traffic lights, you know, be put in or policed in the town, or what should this law or that law be, which would be like a case law type thing, like in legal terms. And his argument in the book is that it isn't so much that we don't look for every single situation right there. Rather, it's more like a constitution, which doesn't lay out the specific laws. It lays out the rules for making the rules.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And it tells what the rule is and how it should be applied.
Mm-hmm. All right. So let's have a little workshop here. Each one of you is going to give me an example. All right. Mm. What is an inappropriate application of rule making the rule? The analogy we're talking about here for the Christian life. So not out there in politics, but just like, you know, let's keep it close at home. Christian life, what is an inappropriate way to say the Bible, you know, is the Constitution, and therefore we're going to kind of make this rule or this kind of.
You mean the Bible is case law?
Or yeah, sure. Yeah. An inappropriate way, to utilize it. What would be an example?
Who wants to go first?
I was looking at you, Nick.
Well, so this, I mean, the one that comes to mind kind of talks about another thing that he brought in, but like straight line versus jagged line issues.
Jagged line?
Jagged. Yeah. So, for example, you shouldn't look at the Bible and say, well, in the Old Testament, God says that we're supposed to care for the sojourner, and then that make a direct line to a specific policy, right? It must be this way. This is the only Christian application of that principle, and all other applications are wrong. That would be inappropriate. What we should do is we should take that biblical wisdom and view it more like, all right, this is God's heart. How then does wisdom get applied to make a fair and just law in a country like ours? And then there can be differing opinions on that, but you know, it's not so much like this one application is right.
Great.
Does that make sense?
It does. Yeah. Stacey, Dave, do you have
Can I piggyback off of that a little bit? I feel like this gets into the realm of like just people individually being legalistic, doesn't it? I mean, I think there's some carryover. So for example,
trying to get at. Examples. Go.
Okay. The Bible says we should care for the sojourner. Is that that's what you were just saying?
Mm-hmm.
So if somebody were to say, well, because the Bible says that everybody should have a refugee family live in their home with them, that is the way you should do this.
Right.
Yeah. To kind of and like that, make it, that's a case law. Yeah.
Right.
Kind of
like everybody should do that. This is the way that you should carry out that value. Or that, you know, thing that the Bible says clearly.
Yeah, I think that's a good one. Dave, you got any similar to that where it's an inappropriate use?
I mean, I think what Stacy's getting at is that anytime you go from the clear what of the Bible, you know, thou shalt not murder, for example, a right example of how then to apply that would be we should probably oppose murder, you know, the way the Bible defines it.
Yep.
So we should oppose abortion, and we should oppose euthanasia of the elderly, which is becoming more and more acceptable, right? We should oppose just the taking of human life. But then, you know, when you get more to, you know, when you translate that to say, therefore, you must never vote third party, for example, because that vote is throwing away your vote, and that means that you support your by voting third party is supporting, you know, a party that supports murder. You know what I mean? Like those kinds of things. Where now you're two or three or four steps down the line.
Mm-hmm.
Now you're in the realm of wisdom of application and how you bring a bunch of biblical values to the table. And I think that too often in our very kind of polarized society, we do that really quickly. Or we've started doing that more quickly than maybe 20 years ago.
Yeah. Well, I think that, I mean, one of the points that he kind of, whether in this book or something else that he's written about, the point that he makes is that this is somewhat a discipleship question. Who are you being discipled by? And that generally speaking, not universally, but generally, the cultural opinions about, and it really comes, depending on the direction that it's coming from, but opinions about what the Bible may or may not say often run askew by narrowing what a Christian may do beyond what the Bible actually says, and therefore makes it so that people are needlessly dividing from each other because they think they mistake that some things that are jagged line or realms of wisdom are actually more about biblical command.
Mm-hmm.
So that, you know,
45 years ago, it was not uncommon for Baptist churches to have something in their membership covenant about refraining from alcohol.
Mm-hmm.
Or, you know, lots of churches, church I was at for a long period of time, had an American flag on the stadium.
On the stage, yeah.
On stage, mm-hmm. yeah. And so whereas, like, there's no clear thing that the Bible says command-wise about, like, you should not ever drink alcohol, or you should not have a flag on the stage,
or you should.
Or you should, right. There's just, these are wisdom calls, and it matters that we're purposeful about them.
Right.
Not that we're just like, yeah, this is what we always did, or whatever else. And therefore, like, sometimes, like, we can be more restrictive for both ourselves and for others than God actually is. And it's appropriate to say that your conscience may be differently calibrated than mine in a way that's not bad,
mm-hmm.
in a way that's okay. And therefore, it's all right for me as a person to draw a line and say, I'll never touch alcohol. Or, you know, it's okay for me to have a flag on my car. Or perhaps if I'm a pastor or elder at a church, like, we should represent the American flag here. You know, I might differ from you on that, but I'm not making the rule for someone else then. I'm making it for myself in those realms of wisdom.
Hmm.
What other things, what other stuff is in the chapter that's pertinent to this discussion?
Yeah, I mean, he also talked about one of the things that we need to keep in mind when we're applying, you know, the wisdom that's given in the Bible is who is the audience, like the covenantal audience. We didn't get a chance to really talk a lot about that in the class, but I think it's really important because, for example, that example that I gave, like, Israel is supposed to care for the sojourner. That was given in the context of the Old Testament people of Israel under the Old Covenant as a law that's supposed to govern that specific people,
mm-hmm.
right? When someone comes in that, you know, context, how should then they care for a sojourner? And so that context governs that people, and we as the New Covenant people of God then are not directly under that command. In the same way that Israel was back in the Old Testament, in the Old Covenant.
Right.
And so we really have to keep the whole storyline of the Bible in mind and the covenantal context in mind when we're applying these things because it doesn't correlate one-to-one.
Mm-hmm.
You know, even the Ten Commandments, you know, 9 out of 10 of them are repeated in the New Testament except the Sabbath. But we now, as New Covenant Christians in Christ, are not directly under the Ten Commandments like the Old Testament people of Israel were, which, you know, some people are like, what? You know, but we're not. Mm-hmm. That's binding on the Old Testament people of Israel and not us. Now, that doesn't mean that they just go away. We just need to filter those things through Christ and his fulfillment in the law of Christ.
Mm-hmm.
To find the appropriate application, but that requires wisdom and that requires keeping the whole storyline of the Bible in mind.
Right.
And mm-hmm. I think a lot of people, you know, make bad applications then in our world by just plucking things out of their context and saying, well, the Bible says it mm-hmm. here, mm-hmm. so we need to do it in that way.
Mm.
So anything you guys would mm-hmm. say or add about that? Because I think that's pretty important.
Yeah, I mean, it's just part of good Bible reading, you know, it's part of good, call it like hermeneutics, you know, mm-hmm. how to interpret the Bible as an unfolding storyline or progressive revelation. It's one of the reasons I love what we do in Truth on Fire and is, you know, just walking through how do we do this better?
Yep.
I know that even Nathan is talking about doing some of that with the youth next fall. You know, how do we just understand different genres of the Bible and who it was written mm-hmm. to? And so, yeah, I think it's good. And I think that it's really easy to grab a verse that out of context says what you want it to say.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? And in that way, we're doing more eisegesis than exegesis. And I think that I think that your word is good, just like, who is this written to? What's the context? What's lasting about it? What's eternal about it? What's not? And, you know, going from there. Yeah.
Good. What, anything else you'd say about the topic? Anything else? I see Stacey's got her sheet.
I was just looking at the quotes. There's any that we should read. I'll just read one. Wisdom is both the posture of fearing the Lord as well as the skill of living in God's created but fallen world in a way that yields justice, peace, and flourishing. I just think it's good to flesh out this category of wisdom because we have moral absolutes for sure. Like there's real right and wrong in God's word, but there is a realm of wisdom that I think our human nature is that we want everything to be like a right or wrong thing. Mm-hmm. I think we have tendencies to be black or white. And that, I guess for me, that's where I feel like I or people can fall into legalism. Like we want it to be like a black or white issue. Like this is a right or wrong thing. And a lot of life just seems like a wisdom category of how to apply those moral absolutes in specific situations.
And
that's why we have whole genres of the Bible, you know, that is wisdom literature that God gives us to help us live wisely in this fallen world. So I think it's helpful to process through these things and apply them to politics.
And then just the application for us as a church then is that we need to be gracious with people who come to maybe different policy decisions about how wisdom should be applied in this world, right?
Yep.
We're united in Christ. We love the Bible, and yet there's going to be differences of opinion on how to get from A to B to C to D to E in a particular political policy or vote or whatever. So just the call that we ended on for the class is, given all of this, we should be charitable and loving and united and just be willing to bear with one another in our differences on these things, because our union with Christ is more important than our union on every political policy.
Mm-hmm. Amen. Good fitting words. Thanks for joining me today, guys.